The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support your channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use your character Rocket Stock in the Fortnite or something, because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Hey everyone, welcome to our season premiere of WTR! I mean, this is the season premiere, right? After WrestleMania? Are we kicking off the new season?
Maybe.
Only maybe. I thought, but it's new season.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any like surprising debuts or epic returns? All right, so that's my whole thing. But, of course, I'm not the only one on here. We have the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, damn it. I got to sneeze. Hang on. Chew me. Just kidding. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, Brent, did you know something?
Did I know something? I mean, I know a number of things.
We are streaming live on twitch.tv, twitch.tv/WTR Live.
Yes, and there is a little purple rectangular button below the screen. You can press that, and if you happen to have Amazon, you can link it. You can link it to get Prime Gaming, and you get one free sub per month, which if you want to put it towards this channel, we would be grateful.
That wouldn't suck so bad. Yeah. Unfortunately, tonight, Keishi, after his debut last week, well, re-debut, is unable to join us.
Tim, let's just say what the truth is. Creative just didn't have anything for Keishi this week, so they're keeping him backstage.
We wish him the best of luck in his moving endeavors.
Yeah.
Yeah, Casey's on the move. He's got no internet. I guess he takes over his new place tomorrow.
Keishi, lift with your legs, not with your back.
Oh, if only Andre the Giant had taken that advice.
Well, there's a number of people who could have used that advice, honestly.
Yeah, I made the mistake of lifting with my back once.
Oh, wait, I get to hit a little button. Hang on.
Let the good times roll.
Kane Kittens just subscribed for 27 months.
Okay, hey. You heard that. I heard that. Did they hear that?
Yeah, Chad heard that. It means I also get a bunch of emotes because I subscribe to the channel. Yay! Hey,
my computer screen is just filling up with, it looks like emoji icons and shit. I don't know.
Hi, Lindsay!
Hi, Lindsay. Good to see you. I hope that you had a great week and the rack was really good. And that happens. Hey, who did that?
Anyway, keep going.
The recorder did that?
The recording of the stream, yes. Anyway. Oh,
great. You clipped it, didn't you?
No, I'm saying I stopped something. You're good. It started playing. You're good.
Okay. Anyway. Well, I was just like promoting the rack Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, I know. Doing that, so. I know that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's only because it's a really good webcast and people should tune in.
Indeed. But thanks, Brent, for 27 months. So that's an alert. That was called an alert, Tim. So when someone subscribes to a channel, things pop up like that, an alert on the screen, and then you get all the emotes on the screen, and then you have emotes in the chat. Like Casey's face, even though he's not here. So there you go.
So...
I'm only 42% elite expert.
Yeah, I know. Only 42%. Next time you'll try harder.
One day I'll get up to the level of Lindsay. I'm just saying.
One day.
What is she, 420%?
I don't know if she did the command in chat, but, you know, we would find out. But anyway, we got a little bit of wrestling. We got a little bit of wrestling to talk about tonight. Things have kind of happened in the sports and entertainment.
You know, I have to admit that I'm feeling a little disappointed in the Raw after WrestleMania crowd this year.
Why?
I'm just feeling a little disappointed in them. They didn't bring it like other crowds have brought it in the past. I mean, you know, I don't know if they decided not to try or if they were just mailing it in or it's just the whole thing. And I've been on the internet all week long just bitching and complaining about creative dropping the ball with the Monday after Raw after Mania crowd.
Honest answer, not the sarcastic one. They have nothing to rebel against.
I mean, that is true.
That's why they took over. They had stuff to rebel against. There's nothing for them to rebel against right now.
But Rock, the main event was only 1.5 stars, according to Uncle Dave.
But it's Mania, not Raw after Mania.
Uncle Dave Meltzer?
Yeah, the guy who rates matches. Yeah, him.
You're like ascribing him to being a relative? Possibly now, your mother's brother?
No, he's creepy Uncle Dave.
Creepy. He would be your dad's brother. Got it.
He's one of those people that you just happen to call your uncle because they're close enough in the family, but they're not actually related, and you probably wish that they weren't related. So
Meltzer had 14 months of a good run.
I think that's 12 months too long.
Especially for Meltzer.
But, I mean, overall, Monday, I think, was pretty good for a Raw after Mania. Especially the end segment.
With the
Who
formation.
Did not enjoy the opening segment?
Opening segment was really good, too.
That's what they needed. They needed John to come out and be smug-ass John. We needed him to be the I'm going to ruin wrestling.
He could have done such a better job, so much better job doing the heel turn thing than what he did. And this is just me, my personal gripe. Coming out and blaming the fans and doing all that. It's so fucking tired. He could have found a more creative way of doing it just by tying in let's go Cena sucks. And he didn't do it. He went the old, tired route. Oh, I've given you fans everything and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. It would have said almost identically the same thing, but in a new and different way to make it feel fresher. This is my opinion.
I don't know if Brandon agrees or not with you.
I understand that. At the same time, part of me wonders, is that part of the whole thing? Are they trying to play into that idea? You know, John Cena's been around for 20, 25 years. Maybe...
The fans have wanted him to turn heel for 15 of them.
Right. But I'm wondering if maybe this is also, like, the way to get over as a heel, especially if you've been around this long and doing that kind of thing, is maybe it is playing into the expectation of, okay, if you're going to turn heel, you do the traditional heel turn, and you just really drive that home of, you know, what that expectation is, and you just really do it, because then it's just like, oh God, we've already seen this. Yeah, because his whole purpose is to ruin wrestling, so what's he going to do? He's going to turn into that skid.
Yeah.
But what we're also getting is a complete subversion of what we've gotten before, where no matter what, John wasn't going to turn, and now he's just going to go heel. In opposition, we're getting the guy who's been the ultimate heel throughout the entire run of John Cena, for the most part.
Reverse.
And he has to be babyface.
And I'm going to give it maybe another week before people get on the internet and start bitching about two veterans taking the spotlight instead of the, you know, like new talent, up and comers and shit like that.
Yeah. But the thing is, and I mean, we talked about this in the weeks or the week or two leading up to WrestleMania. The whole purpose of the John Cena retirement tour is, this is going to be the last time you see Cena and Orton. This is going to be the last time that we get, you know, John Cena versus CM Punk, and maybe Cena threatening to walk out with the belt like Punker did. So even though it's, oh my God, it's two veterans fighting over this, no event, do we really think he's going to drop the belt to Randy Orton at Backlash? Or is this just, okay, he's getting that one more match in with Randy. Cool.
Yeah, it's that one more match with Randy, and I expect him to win, but I don't expect it to be clean. It shouldn't be clean.
I saw
I was just going to say, the whole mini feud that they're about to engage in with Randy is, and all I'm doing right now is just heading off all of the negativity before it even fully 100% starts. It's his last year wrestling. He will show up and do autographs and stuff like that, but this is his last year in the ring. It ends in December, right?
Right.
It ends in 26 more appearances.
Yeah. Because remember, it's not matches, as he said, appearances.
Yep. He's got 26 to go.
By the way, that was fantastic that he had the counter, and he's telling everyone exactly how many days he's burned already, and the fact of, like, yeah, he can just show up on Raw or SmackDown, and it counts as an appearance, and it means he's one step closer to being away and taking the belt with him.
Yeah.
So it's going to elicit more of this desperation of, like, people have to get him while he's around in order to take that title, or else he'll leave with it. And like he alluded to, anyone who comes after him is not going to be a legitimate title holder, because he'll have the real belt with him at home.
Also, to play off of what Tim said, with the supposed negativity for seeing Cena and Orton one last time, that's the joke.
Yeah, everyone hated that fucking feud.
It's turning into, I said this leading into, man, that's what you have to do. You turn into the meme. You wanted, you hated seeing it, but now you're going to get it because it is the last time.
Well,
so,
thank you.
The one thing I loved about the promo on Friday was the fact of Randy essentially calling out John and being like, this isn't you. Like, you're the guy who loves the fans. You're the guy who does all of this. Like, that's the person I want to face. Like, I don't want this thing that's in front of me. And Cena, of course, turned it and just railed against the fans again. But I just like that even Orton is like, this is bizarro world. I don't like this. Like, I should be the one that's being a dick, and yet I'm not. I have to be the good one here. But I heard someone bring up a possible scenario, and looking back, I will laugh if this happens. Hey, Rock, do you remember that match with Cena and Orton where Orton slapped the ref to get himself disqualified to retain the title? What if John does that?
I mean, he could.
He could! And the best thing is if he does that, you know Randy will sit there and go, fuck! I should have seen that coming.
You really should see it coming, because it happened in the past, and you relied on the past. Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's going to be an inside joke that the casual fan is not going to get. But you don't have to be hardcore or you know, what people term a smart to get it either.
Have Cole scream about it as it happened. That's what he's there for, to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. And it would show that, you know, as we've seen, it plays into John Cena being desperate. I mean, that's how he won Elimination Chamber, was he was so desperate to get to the main event that he capitalized on Seth Rollins stomping CM Punk. Whereas in years past, he wouldn't have done it. He would have been like, no, this isn't the noble way. But in Elimination Chamber, it was, oh shit, scramble as fast as he could to put the STF on CM Punk. So if he smacks the ref, it just shows that, like, yep, he is absolutely desperate to hang on to this title and be the last champion because it's all he has left.
Now, remember, if it happens at Backlash, we pointed it out first here tonight.
I mean, technically, I said I saw someone on the internet say
technically,
it.
Technically,
so.
Brent ripped it off of somebody else, so it's not actually our...
Okay, guys, be politicians just for tonight, will you?
No.
Just claim the credit. That's all.
No.
But I'm intrigued to see what happens for the next few weeks of how they build this and how... Because Randy's been getting the one-up so far. And it is in his hometown, so the pressure's on him to win.
It is.
The most enjoyable part of the RKO on Monday was Cena turning around and saying shit mid RKO. Shit!
But it's always fun when we see Randy pull out the RKO out of nowhere. It was one of those things of, especially on Monday when Cena did the I'm gonna play to the hard cam, you're kind of like, oh, something's coming. you don't do the you know, 5 second pose. And something bad doesn't happen.
The RKO out of nowhere.
And he did it again on Friday. Cena snuck the cheap shot in, and he thought it was all going to be fine until Randy just dropped it out of nowhere.
Until it wasn't.
Until it wasn't.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole idea behind the RKO. Out of nowhere, dude.
So that's how Raw opened. Raw ended with the formation of the new Paul Heyman guys?
The New Dangerous Alliance?
The New Dangerous Alliance, the Evolution 2.0.
Oh, I hope they don't go Evolution 2.0. The New Dangerous Alliance makes more sense.
No, I don't think it's going to be Evolution 2.0, but it was a quote Rollins used. Like, it is like they are the new Evolution.
Yeah.
So it's Heyman leading Rollins and Bron Breakker.
Would you add a third or a fourth? Or just have those two guys? Because right there, you've got the perfect setup. These two against those two. You're getting these two who are teamed up, thanks to Paul Heyman, against these two who are teamed up out of necessity and don't necessarily love each other.
I think for that match, these two are fine. If you introduce a third as part of that match or at the conclusion of that match, I think it works simply because when I look at this pairing... You've got Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, Bron Breakker, but if you have this tag team or this faction, in theory, someone will have to, like, either eat falls or you're just going to push this as an ultimate super group. If someone has to eat falls, I don't think it's going to be Seth, and you don't want it to be Braun. So worst case, you can add a third to help round out the group, possibly help them win the tag match that should be coming up.
You're going to stretch this out a lot longer than Backlash if you had half a brain because...
I know that.
The potential for a great story is so close it could kiss you or smack you in the face, depending on your point of view, I guess. But if you're going to introduce a third guy, you do it at the end of the match as the go-home to that match. That's the perfect time. You don't bring anybody out until then.
When do you do the match?
No, rumors are already speculating. Do you bring out a guy or do you bring out a man?
Who better to join up with the faction involving Seth Rollins than his wife?
Because, I mean, we did see her turn on Monday.
Yep.
And I know a bunch of people were pissed off because they were like, oh, well, if you were just going to turn, why not just have Bayley in that role? Because it means more with it being the man, with it being, you know, the mentor.
Yeah.
Bayley was just...
I was just going to say, her first destination, logically, will have to be the title that Lyra's holding because of that.
And that's fine. I mean, honestly, if you want your second ever Intercontinental Champion to be Becky Lynch, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Worse shit has been done.
And if you get it...
Now they tried pushing Ryback once.
Well, and the thing is if you have, you know, Lyra working with Becky, that's just Lyra getting more reps with a really good hand who she knows and gets along with well, they'll put together a good match, and Lyra has been performing well recently as well.
It's Becky giving Lyra the rub.
But there is history there with them, and it does, you know, allow for a story to move forward. And honestly, you get to keep Liv Morgan and Raquel busy being the tag champs again, which I do not mind because it keeps... Apparently the internet just wants Liv to have a belt no matter what. They don't realize that she needs to cool down at some point. But that's just me.
I don't think that they're going to hold on to the belts for an extended period. But the thing there is, who's taking it off of them?
Who's taking it off?
Liv and Raquel, the tag titles.
My hope would be someone from NXT, but that's just me. But I don't know who the pairing is that would do that quite yet. Because the one team I thought you could possibly want to give that to, one person already has two belts, and two, they're already kind of hinting at that group may dissolve here fairly soon. So, not sure about that.
What if you put two people together? Who would you put together?
That current roster, I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it.
That's like the primary question right now.
I mean, it could always be the Wyatt Six, but I don't know if that faction needs belts.
You get Lexi Kaufman to embrace the dark side, join the Wyatt Six. You've already got one gal there. Team her up with Lexi. And for those of you who don't know who Lexi is, it's Alexa Bliss.
I mean, you could do that. You could find people in NXT. There are, you blink and there's women in NXT you can call up and put together.
I mean, we already saw one. They had the title match, but they can always sit there and linger. Because, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Tatum and Gigi holding the belts. I think they might do a decent job.
Yeah, when you're ready to call them up, yeah.
Yeah.
They'd be fine to take them off them. You could put Julia and Roxanne together. Have them pull off the titles.
Rock, don't tease me with that, please.
No, did you see what's happening Monday?
No.
Rhea versus Roxanne.
Okay, number one, that's going to be a good match. Number two, I fear that Rhea is going to fold her like an origami paper.
Probably.
Now, don't get me wrong. Roxanne's going to do a great job selling. And ultimately, I think Roxanne's going to do something to weasel her way out. You know, maybe perhaps Julia comes in and interferes. But part of the fun of that is that Roxanne will get folded up like an origami swan.
Yes.
And I'm kind of here for it because she realizes that's her role in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But be a cocky little shit while that's happening.
Because we saw the debut, I guess, or for the main roster of Julia and Roxanne on Monday.
Well, Stephanie we'd already Vakur, seen Roxanne involved.
Yeah, and Stephanie Vakur as well was up on Raw.
God, when she came out, that crowd popped because they were just like, they knew what was coming and they were like, please give it to us. Please give it to us. And Adam did. So good on Adam. And for what, 15 minutes, we got a pretty damn good match out of the two of them.
And then the internet complained, oh my God, there was a non-finish between two champions.
Well, yeah, and then you got Julia and Roxanne as part of it, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's like, what do you expect? It's a storyline. Pay attention to what's going on. Quit saying, oh, it sucks because I didn't get what I want. Just because you didn't get what you want doesn't mean it sucks.
Oh my God, it means we might actually have to, I don't know, watch this again. Heaven forbid.
Oh no, we'll get more entertained. That's terrible.
But
today.
We could always get a tournament filled with predictive finishes that get you to like one match at the very end. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, you thinking something in particular?
I mean, yeah, but I'm just taking a shot.
Shoot your shot, dude.
Oh, no, it's the Owen. It's absolutely, it's just, okay, look, everything is pretty much predicted until the very, oh, look, and then we get this end thing where either A, it is totally predictable, or B, that is the one match where we go, oh, it could go either way.
Nothing.
But at least for things like King of the Ring and other stuff, they've made it a little bit more surprising.
Yeah. Well, nothing better than not knowing what's going to wind up happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that comes close to it is when they swerve you and surprise you and don't do the predicted finish. That's just as big a shock, which is good. But I guess Michael Cole has a bit of a rough voice now.
He does.
Why would Cole have one?
And Pat McAfee, too.
I think that...
What?
Go ahead. No, the angle was worth for Pat, not Cole. Cole was fine. He did the rest of the show.
Oh, yeah. No, the angle, what we're talking about here is Gunther being fined and suspended indefinitely. Coming out and attacking Michael Cole, getting defended by Pat McAfee, and having Pat's crew jump out and try to get involved and all this other with the bit of a mosh at the side of the announcer's table. I think that was a pretty good angle to get Gunther off TV for a bit so he could go and rest and recoup after an incredible, 3.5 years?
Yeah. I mean, hell, the man defended a Intercontinental title for 666 days, and then he had the world title for
a year.
What, 250 plus?
Almost a year. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, no, technically SummerSlam.
Technically. Yeah, okay. But he's very deserving of being given a couple of weeks off to just relax and recharge his batteries. And we've got a ready-made feud for when he comes back, because you know that they're not going to ignore Pat McAfee.
Because Pat's going to say comments tomorrow.
Well, so. And it also keeps Gunther looking strong. Even though it is attacking announcers, it's still a matter of he seems dangerous.
Yeah.
But you know who...
The unpredictability of that dangerousness.
Yeah. You know who's going to stand up for Pat McAfee and Michael Cole?
His boys?
No, they tried. They failed.
Oh. They got held back by the one time WWE security worked.
It's one word. Goldberg.
Oh, God, Rock, why?
Why not? Goldberg's not going to let the announcers get bullied. He's going to stand up for them and challenge Gunther to a fight.
But why is he going to stand up for the announcers? It's not like they have a long-standing relationship.
Because it's Goldberg, and he's a great human being, Brent.
It's contractual obligations, and those have been fulfilled already!
No, there's one left.
Fuck! One left. Yep. God damn it!
I was waiting for Rock to drop that bomb on your ass.
Oh, God.
He gets the retirement match.
I know he does, but... And don't get me wrong, him and Gunther are fine, but not this setup!
But what if it is the setup, right? What if the reason for the angle, besides putting him... giving him time off, is to set up Goldberg versus Gunther because Goldberg's a good guy?
Now, before you say anything, Brent, I'm going to remind you of one thing. Whether you like what he says or you don't like what he says, Rock has a tendency to be right a fraction more often than he's wrong. And go.
Fuck him being right! No, on it, I mean, ultimately, if that's the way you write it into it, so be it. I mean, we've talked about from when there was that interaction with Gunther and him in the crowd, where it's like, okay, this is where they're going for that final match. Gunther can probably potato sack Kerry Goldberg into a 15-minute match if they need to. And I think Goldberg can lift up Gunther a little bit more easily now that he's more in the WWE shape. We saw Goldberg try and get Bray up for the jackhammer, and it was not pretty. But, I mean, if this is where it's ultimately going to lead to, fine. Although, ultimately, I would love to see something like this happen in that, like, Paris PLE. I don't know if I necessarily want this at, like, you know, oh, this is going to be Money in the Bank in LA, or, like, it feels like it needs to be a little bit more of a special stage. And honestly, I would like to see Gunther be like, I'm not going to wrestle for the people. I'm not going to wrestle you here in America in front of these people. I want you to come into like my territory. You know, you're going to come to Europe if we're going to do this.
Yeah, you know why we should have it in Paris? Because we occupied France once and...
I wouldn't quite go that far.
or
Oh, hell no. You do not go that far, especially today. But
or you do it on Saturday night's main event. Because you have two of them coming up, one in May,
and
one in July.
And you want to draw a crowd, so let's put Goldberg on Saturday night against Gunther.
Because all you need is a 10-minute match on network television.
And honestly, if you say the word Goldberg and you advertise Gunther, it's going to get some eyes. So Saturday Night's Main Event could work, but like I said, at least to me, I would put this as one of like one of those bigger international events.
But your bigger international events are not till later in the year. Stretch it to the
end of that's August. The one drawback,
right? That's why I said you can get it out of the way. Well, in July.
And especially with the fact that like it seemed like there were more of the like second tier pay per views being put in the international market this past year. So it was weird when it was like, oh, Money in the Bank, LA. I kind of went, oh, okay.
I mean, sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. I mean, you can't have like everything international because then, of course, it starts to you start to kind of like take it away from the U.S. crowd, which is your home base. But you still want that international crowd to feel special. So,
right, and you also gave them 3 weeks of television.
Yeah, the lead up to Mania, especially.
Yeah. So that kind of ate up some of the dates.
One thing I know: last Monday night was Rusev Day.
Surprise! Surprise!
Yeah, who's surprised?
I don't think anyone was surprised. Everyone knew he was coming. Big E kind of let it out of the bag the couple days beforehand that Rusev was back.
On Saturday night.
Yeah.
Night one.
But Rock, it was also surprising that Aleister came back, not that they had like hype packages or anything
for him. They didn't promote him for a month now. I mean, it's cool to be back.
The two of them back, I think, are going to be good because it revitalized them for the WWE crowd. They got their chance to go kind of see what the other side was like. But sometimes I think in doing that, you realize like, okay, maybe the grass isn't greener over there. Or maybe like initially it'll be better, but then, you know, they run out of creative and you're stuck working backstage for 12 months. Do I think them coming back is going to be this like effortless, you know, oh, everything's going to be hunky-dory? No, because of course they could get disgruntled again. That's totally fine. But I think it's also like CM Punk where you saw what happens elsewhere, and maybe it's like, okay, maybe things weren't as bad as I thought here. Maybe I feel more comfortable. So,
well, the grass is always greener on the other side of the septic tank.
Well, and the thing with that is, I mean, look at the other side, and you have people like Swerve and Ricochet and, you know, other talent that are doing better, I would say, over there. And it's because, you know, the style fits more of what they want to do. Maybe they have more freedom. They don't like being constricted with writers and promos and other things. And it works for them. That's totally cool. I'm not going to fault them for it. You found what works for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I think you can honestly tell Phil is enjoying himself in WWE much more the second time around because there's structure and people will listen to some of the stuff he has to say. And if there is conflict of, like, what you think your creative is, you can go to your creative person and be like, hey, I don't know if this is working. And they'll work it out because, you know, stories have come out that, like, maybe him and Hunter didn't see eye to eye on a certain storyline, but yet they worked together. And so far, I mean, Punk's doing fairly well for himself, I'd say. Wouldn't you?
This time around has been a lot smoother than I expected. I'll say that much.
But which, out of all the returns and debuts this past week on both SmackDown and Raw, which one are you most excited about, Tim?
Ask me that again.
Of all the returns, the debuts, the surprises of the new people on the rosters from both SmackDown and Raw, which one are you most excited about?
I'm not picking a single one of them.
So none of it intrigued you?
I was waiting for you to say, oh, so none of it. No. I'm not picking a single one. Is all of the returns, all of the debuts. I like when all of this happens because it helps to keep shit fresh. Have there been surprises? Yeah. You know, were they big? Depends on your point of view. Again, none of them have been unpleasant. And it leads me to look forward to what's coming, both, you know, like right around the corner and then down the road, of course. So it's not a single one. It's just everybody coming in or back.
Okay, that's a non-answer to the question. Brent, how about you? Do you have an answer?
I have two or three people that interest me. It's all the same mentality. It's, I'm very intrigued to see what will happen. And I mean, they're not fully, I think, on the main roster. I think they're going to be floating back and forth between the brands that they're on. But I think, like, Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, and Roxanne Perez are going to really kind of stir things up for the women's division, because with Vaquer and Julia, of course, they've been performing internationally for a long time. They have a lot of history. They needed that little bit of kind of polish in terms of like what the WWE product is, how, you know, how to work to the hard cam, how to do these things. But you can see from like when Stephanie performed on NXT with the PL, you know, with their PLEs, and then performed with EO and the way the crowd was reacting. And, you know, even for the, what's the name of her move, Rock? The one that Charlotte stole?
I don't know the name of the move. I couldn't tell you the name.
Like the Devil's Kiss or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, she pulls that out and the fans were all into it and they were like, yeah. And yet, you know, when we had Julia and Roxanne come out and interfere, like, I think there was this little bit of energy there of like what the possibility was of, okay, we get these three up there with the likes of EO and Rhea, who came out, and we had that stare down of Rhea and Julia. And it was just like, I think everyone saw that moment and went, shut up and take my money, because you know, Julia can work a strong style. You know, Rhea is trained in working that same style from working in Australia and Japan. The two of them will beat the high holy hell out of each other legitimately, and it's going to be amazing. And then you've got Stephanie there with her background, you know, from Latin America and Japan. You've got Roxanne, who's just, you know, been performing forever since she was 14, and she's still only in her, like, mid-20s, if that. And yet you still have this good foundation on the main roster of Bianca, Tiffany, you know, Jade's developing. And so you add those three into that whole mix, and it really gives that women's division that kind of like, shit, you need to take notice, because there's going to be some good stuff coming along. So that's what I'd say is those three, that NXT flow that you can pull out to put up there and then move back. Because also, if you have Julia and Stephanie moving, that gives people like Zarya and Jordan and Jada that chance to kind of shine on NXT a little more, so that when you want to move them, they're ready to go.
And one other thing before we go, I'm going to give Brent a moment to talk about the match that needed to be on WrestleMania. The TLC match from this past Friday night.
It needed to be on WrestleMania?
Do you think it should have been?
So you and I had this conversation last night.
Uh-huh.
The internet lost its freaking mind at the fact of this triple threat that got 30 minutes is not on WrestleMania. Correct. And you and I were discussing this, and we kind of both were in fairly agreement of this, of like, no, it doesn't need to be on WrestleMania. Could it have been? Absolutely. It would have been, you know, it would have been a good match to have up there. But the problem was, what we got on TV and what you'd get at WrestleMania are two totally different things. Because, Rock, you pointed out, how long was the match on SmackDown?
22 minutes and 50 seconds.
Where would that have placed in the length of WrestleMania matches?
The second longest match on the show, on two nights.
And no offense to DIY and the Machine Guns and, who was the third team?
DIY, the Machine Guns, and, you know, the champions, the Street Profits.
Oh, the Street Profits, thank you. That's not faulting the Street Profits. It was just a matter of, like, I knew there were three teams, I couldn't remember who the third was. But it's like, no offense to the three teams that were involved, but they're not going to get the second longest match at WrestleMania with those three. Nah, they would have gotten 12, 15 minutes.
Yes.
And you could have fit in everything that happened on SmackDown in that, but it probably would have felt a little rushed, or it would have felt like just an utter spot fest. At least for what happened on SmackDown, they were able to tell the full story. And you got the moments like after the match, you know, the interviews with DIY that were just saying like, you know, this is what TLC is. And, you know, they're angry because they lost that kind of match. And you got the chance of like really innovative spots with the Street Profits and DIY and the machine guns hitting those kinds of things. And plus, what that did was, for your very first SmackDown after WrestleMania, it made it must-see, because it's, I want to see this match. And after this match has happened and it's hitting social media and you see all these things, now it becomes next week, I need to tune in to this show to see what happens. Because if that was their start, I want to see what builds for the rest of the other stories. Instead of just, hey, we're putting this on WrestleMania, okay, now they move on to whatever the next story is. So, Internet, as much as I understand, it's like, hey, this would have been really cool to see on Mania, and oh, you probably could have replaced a match with this. It wouldn't have gotten the same effect. It wouldn't have had the same moment. And you give them essentially a big spotlight, because this was the main event. This is, like, we think this is going to be the premier match you should watch for this show.
Main event.
Yet commercial free, and it shows us, you know, as much as people wanted to bitch and moan about the fact that WWE doesn't care about tag teams, you just featured three of your best tag teams in the main event spot, and you're like, hey, we think this can carry the show. I think that's a pretty big statement.
I would say so.
Yeah.
So congrats to the Street Profits for retaining, and a great TLC match. But I think we've covered everything. Is there anything else we need to talk about this week?
I would just like to give one big congratulations to Zelina Vega for winning her first ever singles title. Good job. Unfortunately, that means we lost Chelsea Green as the U.S. champion, but it also means we might get to see a little more unhinged Chelsea, which is always a good thing.
It is a good thing.
You scare me, always wanting to see Chelsea unhinged. Oh my goodness.
Have you seen Chelsea unhinged? It's amazing!
It's funny, and I got no problems with it. I just teasing you, because it's fun. But yeah, I think we're all talked out for tonight, guys.
All right. We're done.
We are done for tonight. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us ramble for your pleasure, I guess. I don't know. Tomorrow night, however, immediately following Raw, Rock won't ramble. He'll give you the goods on the post-show.
Is the Raw post-show live right after Monday Night Raw? Whenever it ends, probably around 10:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk all things Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and I announced it at the top of the show, and it's time to plug it here once again. We're talking about Thursday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of The Rack. Rock joins the lovely Lindsay Ward.
The Rack is live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk the news from the last couple of weeks and something else. We'll figure it out. We're getting there in the process. We'll talk about it Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. We did Would You Rather Career Choices last night. We're going to figure out what we'll do this week. But it's CB Live, Saturday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Russell Talk Radio to preview...
In case she may be back.
To preview Backlash.
Wait, next week's Backlash already?
Yeah, it's the 10th.
God damn it! Okay.
Yeah, we're already there. It's just, that's why it's a quick one. Easy setup. Backlash is coming right around the corner. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Chat. Tim has social media.
I do. Follow me on X at Flames Forums, and I do have an announcement for everybody in Canada. Tomorrow is the federal election. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Just get out and vote. It's your civic duty. It's your civic right. If you don't vote, you've got no right to bitch and complain about anything that goes on for the next 4 years. Vote, Canada.
Right?
You can find me on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. Either one of those will work. And I can't tell you what to do in the Canadian election, because I believe there is a federal statute that says outsiders can't have a say in it. So I can't tell you what to do one way or the other. Just, you know, my half Canadian side is, you know, go vote, damn it.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying go vote if you're not from Canada. It is a problem when you say go vote for those guys.
Vote for them all. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You use credit card Rock Socket before night item shop because hashtag Epic Partner.
Can we vote for a moose?
You can vote for moose if you want.
Okay.
But anyway, we're done here now.
That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And we hope that you had fun. We kind of sort of did. And remember, next Sunday night, we are previewing Backlash. Tune in for that. Have yourselves a great week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com